I was thinking about in the prayer meeting this morning is all glory must go to God. He's good, isn't he? And over the last few weeks, we've heard the congregation calling out to the Lord. And I don't know if it's a result of us going through that Bible study on Song of Songs, but there's just a depth. There's just a depth of a hunger and maybe a trusting in God that's starting to break through in the congregation. Do you sense that? Amen. Amen. Can we give God glory? Let's give Him glory. Amen. We love you, Lord. And this morning is a celebration morning. We'd really love to welcome Pastor Pat and Ivonia. It's so nice to have you with us. Still, my net also in donkey meal. Just if you get it. And I just want to put it up on the screen. So just, sorry. Sorry, I'm causing confusion. I went to meal, I was saying, now I got carried away and not green. Do you know it's a year? So we thought it would be appropriate to invite them back to come and see what their children are doing. And also to let them know that we still love them and we haven't forgotten about them. We know that you're always there. We know that you're praying for us. We know that there's a foundation that you've planted. And it's a Christian heritage. And we will live out that Christian heritage. Amen. And we love you, and we'd like to, we honor God, we give God glory, but we want to honor you this morning as well, Pastor Pernia. So thank you so much for what you've meant to us. And I know there's still people that are talking to you from time to time, and you're an encouragement to us. And it's a blessing. We really appreciate that. So welcome here. We'd also like to welcome our visitors, Brandon and Janae. I'm teasing them, but they're busy in the process of moving to the coast. We're devastated about it, but we're also very pleased about it because God gave Brendan employment. And when God gives you work, you do what He's probably got work for you to do down there, Brendan. And may the Lord bless that. So it's nice to have you with us this morning. It's not always easy because he's commuting and he's up and down. And so it's nice to have you here this morning. This morning is celebration service. It's we wanted to celebrate and we used the completion of our loft upstairs there as our excuse. Because, you know, we don't really need an excuse to celebrate. We can celebrate Jesus every day. But we wanted something to celebrate. It's spring. So, yeah, everybody celebrates Spring Day, and it's great to have spring here. The other morning I was WhatsApping you, and I did two lines, and I hit enter instead of carrying on with what I was writing. So everybody must have thought, well, he's happy that spring's arrived. But I wanted to encourage you with a scripture. Anyway, we're getting there. It's a bit... I think it's this cable, yeah. I need somebody who's good with soldering. I'll fix this cable once, but I'm not that good with it. So we wanted a reason to celebrate, and I'd like to invite you after the service, just go and look upstairs there, and we've completed it. The benches are varnished, the floor is beautiful, there's a new piece of carpet up there. So we've spent a lot of money getting that area up there ready, and there's not one person sitting there. And I'm okay with that. Why? Because who of you watched Faith Like Potatoes? We've been planting some potatoes. When it looks like there's a drought, we'll plant potatoes and God will bring people in. And we speak that by faith. Amen. Amen. I was reading, because it's a year since we took over, I was reading what the Lord said to me a year ago this time, what I wrote in my journal. And one of the things He said is I need to lead the people over the Jordan River. And I believe... we haven't crossed the Jordan River yet. We've got our foot in. We're kind of maybe halfway across. But as we start entering into this promised land that God has given us, people will come. We had a team go out in the streets yesterday. Thank you, Glenn, and those of you that went. And they were tremendously blessed, and we've done a number of those. And we're reaching the lost. Are we seeing it here in the church? Not yet, but it will come. So we're planting potatoes. The coffee bar evening, no, you're not to bring your whiskey to put in your coffee. It's not a pub. It's a coffee bar evening. We're going to minister in song. We're going to prepare. Okay, it's going to be hard work for those of us that are going to be singing. So please do come. Right, we're looking for more than our normal evening congregation. And we're looking that you will bring visitors with you. And you'll hear me singing. I mean, please, really. I better shut up and put my pride back in my pocket. All right. But what I'm trying to say is, just like we've done the movie nights, and that hasn't really taken off the way we wanted it. We're going to try this. We're going to sit. We're going to have some coffee and tea. My sister teased me. She said, well, the coffee and tea is always free. But what we're trying to say is there'll be something, just normal snacks. Maybe we'll do toasted sandwiches. Maybe we'll ask a lady or two to bring a cake. And we'll sit and we're going to minister in music. So it will be ministry. And what I feel is as the Spirit moves, we may just start praying for people and let's see what happens. So I want to invite you. That's in, what's on the 18th? It's in 2 weeks' time on Sunday night. Josh, you guys better start practicing. Right. So what I wanted to quickly go through, and I'm watching the clock at the back there, and Peter's going to moan at me, but it's not my sermon. What I want to go through, remember that first Sunday, we stood up and we shared the vision and the mission of the church. So what I wanted to share a little bit of this morning before going into the messages, and please don't go to sleep, okay, because the important stuff's coming. That's what's happening there. But this is just to let you know that the church is moving forward. What is our mission, vision, our strategy, and what have we achieved? And we've got reason to celebrate, and that is why I think the Lord put in my heart this morning, glory to God. We do nothing except that we do. If He wants to build a church, they labor in vain, lest the Lord build it. And then Zechariah came into mind, and it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. So we can do nothing except by the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter how fantastic we are at working, doesn't matter how hard we work, except that the Lord does it. We do nothing. We achieve nothing. So, to have a vision is God's way. I shared the scripture with you then. Habakkuk 2 verse 2 to 3. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. See, that's my problem. Sometimes I get frustrated because I want the vision to happen now. I want everything to happen now. I want the church to be full now. Sometimes God says, no, hang on a second. There's a bit of foundation that needs to be laid. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. I don't know why that keeps popping up, I'm sorry. But at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. And wasn't that in line with the prophetic word that came through Shirley this morning? Just keep going. Don't give up. It was you, Shirley, eh? Keep going. Don't stop now. Keep pushing. In your own life, keep pushing. Keep serving the Lord. Look around you. Say, but things are... really don't know why this keeps doing this. I think it's my mouse. So, I really do think it's my mouse. This has happened to me before. So, there we go. We take it out. What was I saying? We need to push through. We need to continue. We need to keep going, even when the going gets tough. When the going gets tough, they're tough. Get on their knees. Amen. All right, it will not tarry. What God is saying, it's coming. What is our mission statement? Can you tell me what our mission statement is? My goodness. Okay, shall we go? Okay. Do you recognize that? It's on the bulletins. It's on everything that we do. Flourishing in faith, growing in love. And we want to be a church that flourishes in faith and grows in love. And it comes from the scripture. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3. Dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you. Because your faith is flourishing. I believe over the past year, we have seen people's faith flourishing. As you've got involved, as you've said, I will put up my hand. I will run with the vision. We've seen faith flourishing. And we've seen the people in this church growing in love. I really believe that. So we never stop thanking God for you. And then we've got a mouthful of a vision statement. We took the old vision, which is to love God and to make His love known. And we said, we just want to expand it a little bit. We want to make sure we're reaching into the areas that we want to reach. Because we weren't so great at making His love known. And I still think we've got a lot to learn there. So our vision, this is a mouthful, is to grow and thrive, becoming a church. Just to take a step back, the vision, the mission statement is our as is. That's where we are now. The vision statement is where we want to go to. That's why you have to have a mission and a vision. So loving the Lord... flourishing faith and growing in love. That's where we are now. And that's where we must be praying. We want to be now. But we're saying, Lord, we want more. We want to grow and thrive and become a church of irresistible influence. I'm sure you're sick and tired of hearing us talking about that. But that is what God has put on our hearts. Reaching those God has in the city. That's the scripture that Pastor Pat raised in January last year from Acts 18. God has got a people in the city and we need to reach them. We did some of that on the street yesterday. In fact, we didn't. Glenn and those that went out with Glenn did it. And as we love God, old vision Satan, love people, that was the old vision, And make disciples. Because it's more than just leading them to the Lord on the street. We need to teach people how to serve God and love Him and live for Him their whole lives. So we made it simple. We made it into 5 easy points. To love the Lord our God. To love people. You can count it out on your hands. To love the Lord our God. To love people. To make disciples. To be a church of irresistible influence. And to grow and thrive. That's the final one. So that way you can remember it. And I want to encourage you to memorize that. It's on your bulletin. So you've got it. Right. How are we going to do that? And I just took a page. I shared with the leaders 4 pages of strategy. Your strategy is the things you're going to do to achieve the vision. How will we do it? Well, prayer. Prayer is the priority. We keep on going on. We need to attend the prayer meetings. One of the prayer meetings that wasn't mentioned by Conrad, who did the announcement so fantastically this morning, was the Pray and Stay Fridays, where Patsy put up her hand and she said, well, let's do something. And so from 10 to 11:30 on a Friday, we gather here. This Friday, we had 2 people here, but the other people actually gave apologies. They said, we can't come for this reason or that reason. But I've attended some of those meetings, and they're a real blessing. And I want to encourage you, if you're not working, if you're out of work, we've got a lot of people that are out of work. We've got a lot of pensioners in the church. Come, pray and stay. It's to pray and to have a bit of a care. And who likes caring? We're not always so good at praying, but we love to care. Amen? Come, pray and stay with us. Prayer is a priority. Conrad was correct. The last 2 Sunday mornings in the prayer meeting, something has happened, and I believe it's flowing into the services. We will not do anything without seeking the Lord's face. And I put little icons here. I said, we're praying, but the other one is the little face with the magnifying glass. Can you see it? I know for some of you it's small. If you can't see it, you can always move forward. For those of you that are old and can't see, come forward. I'm just joking. But the magnifying glass is saying, we've got some work to do. Because our prayer meetings have not been getting well attended. However, the Sunday morning prayer meeting, we're seeing more people come in. And I want to thank those of you that are coming into the prayer meeting because it's making a difference. And bless you for that. And you know what? As far as I'm concerned, I'm not going to throw the other prayer meetings away because they're so important. But if we can get just one of our prayer meetings working and being on fire and firing from all cylinders, things will change in the church. So I want to encourage you with it. That's why we got the magnifying glass there. We got some work to do there. We're going to test everything we do against the vision. We've spent quite a lot of money in the last year. But the money we've spent has been spent against the things that are in the vision. So I've put a thumbs up there. And the leadership team will tell you, when we have our meetings, we discuss these things. We've agreed that unless everybody in the leadership team agrees on what we're going to do, we don't do it. That is the decision we've taken. First impressions. We realize if people come into the church, first impressions make a difference. So that is why we spent a lot of time and effort on the church. And many of you have worked, and we've had the Nehemiah Project, which hasn't stopped us, just by the way. And if you have a look around, you can see some changes. And I believe we've achieved a lot in that. We've painted the outside of the church. We still need somebody who's not scared of arts and who's got equipment so that we can do our fascia boards because they need to get done. And it's the one area which we're battling to finish. But we'll get there. So the church building, we can put a tick mark there. It's looking a bit better. We've upgraded it. The signage. Well, the only signs that have really changed is when we painted in front there, the Christian Heritage Church, to me, seems to stand out better. And we got signs so that you know where to go to the loo. So we've done some signage. But somebody came to me last week and said, our one Christian Heritage sign on Leopard Street here was all bent. The pole is, somebody told me that ages ago, and I just haven't done something. But somebody went and put abortion signs on it. But then somebody else put up their hand and said, don't worry, I'll go and take it and I'll fix it and we'll put it up again. That's our signage. Welcome and attitude towards our regular church members. I believe we're doing that. Our communication, well, I need to get better at that. Like sending out WhatsApp, and I don't send the whole WhatsApp message, or sending a joke about elections to the family, but I sent it to the church. But there's things that are happening in the church that people don't know. Do you know that we've got a Good Shepherd project or ministry in the church, where people who have needs, they might be struggling financially, or they might not have food, or they might need help. We've got a ministry that's running. Not everybody knows about it, because the left hand sometimes mustn't know what the right hand's doing. Can you imagine if you're on the receiving side? Would you want the whole church to know? Not necessarily. And for that very reason, people don't put up their hand and say, I've got a need. So we keep some of these projects quiet, but they're happening. If you want to get involved, if you want to give towards that, you're welcome. Go and speak to Annette. She's in charge of that project. Is there noch ein Video von that, Annette? There we go. And we'd like to welcome Annette back too. Annette, it's so good to have you in church with us this morning. So our communication can get better. Can you still see this thing? It's moving around. And there we go. Ah, toch. Emil, is alles jouw schuld? I don't know. There we go. I'm trying not to move it. The cleanness. Have you noticed the brass is polished and we're trying to keep the property clean. Sean has been working very hard to make it look nice on the outside. So we're trying to make it a clean. So if you're a visitor and you come in and say, oh, this church is clean, the people care about their church. One of the areas we really neglected was upstairs there. I mean, you could have walked up there, you would have been buried in the dust. But it was because nobody went there. So it kind of got forgotten and we've dealt with it. Comfort. We bought the fans, the cooling fans, for in the summer when it gets very hot. And we've done some other things. We've made the atrium pretty. So you can go and if we have a funeral or if we have something and it's small enough, we do it in there. We've made it comfortable for you. Those are just small examples of things that we've done. What are our core values in the church? All are welcome. Love your neighbor as yourself. We're not going to be exclusive or judgmental. Do you know what? I've got the magnifying glass there. One morning somebody came to church that wasn't here for a while, and somebody walked up to them and said, oh, to what do we owe the privilege of you being with us this morning? Guess what? They resigned from the church. And that just stands against what we're trying to do. Now, I'm not trying to focus on the negatives, but there are things we need to look at. We need to think about what we say. I need to think about what I say. People take, Pastor Pat, you could have taught me this a long time ago. People take the pastor so seriously. And I'm a person who loves to make jokes. And sometimes I put my foot right in my mouth. But you're laughing because you've experienced the name. But we need to be careful that what we say and what we do is not judgment. So somebody hasn't been here. We don't know why. Be kind to them. Say, I've missed you. We're praying for you. Don't go saying, where you are? You're backsliding. I sometimes do that too. I joked with Pastor Pat. What are you doing at the back there this morning? Just joking. Right. Come as you are, but don't stay that way. There again, magnifying. We've got some people in the church. We've got a lot of people in the church that are new. We're missing some people. You can see lots of empty chairs here this morning. But are we changing? Are we becoming more like Christ every day? Or are we religious? And we're saying the right things when we're in the right company, but we're in the other company, we're doing the other thing. I think we need to do some introspection. David said in Psalm 139, he said, search my heart, O God, test me, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That doesn't mean we're walking in judgment, but we need to just check that we are changing, that we're growing in the Lord. Real people, no airs and graces. I don't believe we're a people of airs and graces. I believe God is bringing in people from all walks of life in the church, and I believe that we love one another. I believe there's, as far as I'm concerned, unless it's something that I perceive is not there, which is there because I'm unaware of it, I believe we're not a church where people of all race groups feel comfortable in the church. I believe whether you're rich or poor, you feel welcome in the church. And that's important. Free people. You know what? Remember I preached about it. If you're tied down, if you're steeped down in religion, you're not free. But when we're free in Christ, when we're loose in Christ, we can help other people to become free in Christ. So I believe we're achieving that. Disciples making disciples. We're going out on the streets. We are teaching people. But sadly, we're not seeing the growth in the church. So I've put a big cross there. So we need to focus on that. Even our cell groups are struggling. We're not bringing new people into our cell groups. That's one of the key areas that the church will grow with, if we are inviting people into our cell groups. So we've got some work to do there. Community impact. We've done a lot of stuff in our community. We're focusing on this irresistible influence. We're doing a lot there. Generosity. There was not a need among them, and they shared. I believe we are doing a lot in this area. But there's always more that we can do. And that's why I've put a magnifying glass there. Culture of praise and worship. Well, this morning's praise and worship was an example. It was a blessing. Sense of family. The word in the Bible is oikos. It's fellowship. It's togetherness. I believe we have that. our greeting in the morning is a good example. I mean, if we don't get up here and stop you, you'll greet for the whole sermon. But there's nothing wrong. And sharing and focus on uncompromised Bible teaching. I believe we still have that. All right. So let's focus on the good stuff now. What have we achieved? The Nehemiah Project. I want to first thank every person. And there have been a lot of people in the congregation that have been involved in one way or another, washing seats, taking... I never thought those chairs were going to get back there. When they got taken out, I thought, well, that's it. We don't have our platform in the hall forever. But we finished it. Praise God for that. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand. And we can give ourselves a hand at the same time. People came and painted here with us on Saturday afternoons. And people have been coming in the week doing work. And I won't mention names. Well, I'll mention Conrad. He's struggling with his back. But, I mean, Wednesday after Wednesday after Wednesday, he'd sand that floor up. We ripped up the carpets. There was glue on the floor. He would be the Spook van Christen Heritage. If you walked up there, he was just covered in sawdust. But it was a blessing. And many people have come and been involved in one way or another. The ladies came to the mosaic day and made those beautiful mosaic crosses. And it beautified the church. It's made it a place where we can say we're proud that this is our place where we gather. So it's a blessing to me. We've painted the outside. We've painted the entrance and the mother's room and the offices. We've refurbished the atrium. It's one of my favorite areas in the church. I just think it looks so nice now. And we've been using it. We refurbished the loft. Please do go and have a look up there. And pray. Make it a matter of prayer. Lord, we don't just want a loft that looks good. We want a loft that's got people in it. Amen. Our communications. We've done the new... Who likes the new bulletin? Do you like it? Have you seen it? We're spending some money on that. You better like it. Don't just throw it away. The doctors, we've decided to take a chance and put adverts in some doctor's room on the TVs. It's really to draw people from other areas. It'll go out from the 15th of the month for a year. So pray with us about that. We trust that that'll help to just remind, and I'm thinking particularly about people that were once in the church. They go to the doctor and they're reminded, oh, there's a church at the end of Von Bronner Street. I might be sick, but they can pray for me. So we felt it was a valuable endeavor. And if it doesn't work, we won't do it again. But we're going to try it. We got our Facebook running, our internet site. And the thing that I'll probably frustrate you with, the regular WhatsApp communications. Are you all comfortable with the WhatsApp communications? You don't feel like I'm spamming you? Amen. All right, and then the comfort. Of course, we've got the cooling fans and whatever. So that's some of our achievements. Irresistible influence. We've developed relationships with Cradle of Life. We made a significant contribution towards a house that they bought there, a second home. We felt that was a way that we could influence and have an impact in our community. We're supporting the Just in Time Baby Sanctuary. It's a new endeavor of Melody's from Cradle of Life. And who knows, maybe we'll at some stage decide we want to foster or adopt a baby. Who's ready for a baby? Peter, Maria, Marianne? Your babies are going to the coast, I'm sure. Right. Yeah, okay, we can arrange that. You said it with witnesses, eh? Cheryl and I have been thinking about it because our children are not cooperating. Took a while, eh? Josh, you've got to be married first, boy, so it's okay. You say, Kirsty, Monet puzzle. You see, that is what we need. We need to be able to laugh in church, amen? Because we're a family. Regular visits to Tilbachheim. Tilbachheim is the place where Nick was, Nick Grobler. And right now, Janae's dad is there. We went and ministered there again on Tuesday. We try and go once a month. These people, when you go there, it is... I want to just share with you a little bit of testimony. And I'm going to have to preach very quickly. It's a blessing to go into a place like that. Where there were a team of four of us from the church that went. And you'll find that I'm inviting. If I know that you don't have something to do, Glenn hasn't been working, so you're going to be the next one that gets an invite, Glenn. You don't have to come. I might pull you by the ear. But Johnny, I might bring you with me one of these weeks. But we walk in there. These people are battling with Alzheimer's, dementia, schizophrenia. Some of them have just been placed there because their families can't look after them. And we go and we share a little bit of word and we sing and we pray for these people. This week was, of all of them, I think the most amazing. They sat there, they sat their lounge full. And we sang and we felt the Lord's presence come. And they started singing with us. They only know the choruses, the well-known choruses. Sorry, I'm going to cough. Excuse me. They only know the well-known choruses. And some of them start to cry. And then I asked the people, I just felt I must carry on singing. And I asked them to go and pray. And there's a blind lady there. And I felt at the end, there were three or four of them that I went to pray with. She's blind. She sits like this. She's not just blind. She's got some mental issue. And I went and prayed with her. That when I was finished, she took my hand and she just kissed it over and over and over. She was just so blessed. And that touched me. There's another one. She's maybe my age. Her name is Kriki. You walk in there. She's not right in her mind. And she's just, hello, Wim. She's probably my age. Hello, Wim. Wim at my leaf, ne, Wim. Ek het Wim by a leaf. And you know, that is what the ministry is about. If you want to be blessed, come with us one week. I'll let you know. Maybe I must WhatsApp the next time. I really would like for us to go there and do something over and above. Maybe a meal or just bless them with something. But this is the kind of things that we can do. It's us being Christians doing the Christian thing. Joshua spoke about when he was involved in the Red Frogs and they just ministered. It's a blessing. So I don't think I'm talking about Tilbach because I'm going there. I'm talking there because it's a blessing. And I think anybody, who else was there with me? Larry, is it a blessing? Amen. Aggie, where are you? Is it a blessing? Amen. And Phyllis is always there. She's with her family, by the way, in Heidelberg today. Relationships with Paula Kecho and Magan Chen. We've got some of the Paula Kecho ladies here. We're so blessed that you ladies come. And we're able to minister to them. We've done these conferences. We're going to do another one next month. It's going to be called the Breakthrough Conference. We've done ladies' fellowship days and mentorship. That was part of the plan with the crosses, that we'd pair an older lady with the younger lady. It's scriptural. It says the older ladies must train up the younger ladies. The evangelism, the street ministries. Church members that are getting involved. Benji, was it a blessing to you being on the street yesterday? He's just smiling. It was a blessing. Have you got a testimony about it in your heart? Did the Lord touch you? Amen. Our people are getting involved. The 10th crusade, we've decided to throw ourselves 100% behind the next 10th crusade that's going to happen in October. And people got saved at that thing last year, and lives were changed. So that's some of the things we've done. And then I think one of the most successful things we did was in the July holidays, the Holiday Bible Club. It was a huge success. We had 49 children on the last day. Some of those children are coming to our children's church as a result of that Bible Club. We had 14 volunteers out of the church during that time for the week. It was phenomenal. It was an amazing blessing. And yes, by God's grace, we will do it again. And that's, we went to the Mighty Men's Camp. Men, it's about time we went to another one, eh? I didn't hear any great amens. Amen! Yes, that's it. We had a wonderful time in the bushveld with the men. And that's it. So right now I want to just say thank you to all of you that have been involved, that have got behind the vision. May the Lord take us from glory to glory. But more than anything, we want to give God glory. Amen? So let us give the Lord praise. Now that I've preached you to sleep, I'm going to have to preach you awake again. Let's just pray. Our Lord, we want to thank you this morning for what you've allowed us to do in the past year. Personally, Cheryl's in the children's church. But Lord, Cheryl and I can thank you for this congregation that has supported us, prayed for us, worked with us, and got behind your plan and your purpose for Christian Heritage, the vision. Lord God, we give you all the glory. It all belongs to you. The people in this city belong to you. We belong to you. This building belongs to you. Everything we do belongs to you. And this morning we want to thank you for a year. And we pray that in a year's time, as we share progress, that the potato project will have paid dividends, that we'll have people sitting upstairs there. Lord, that these chairs will be full, that lives will be changed, that testimonies will be taking place. Conrad prayed this morning that we will have healings and miracles and signs and wonders happening. And we ask for it. And then as I commit this service to you, as I commit the remainder of the service to you, I pray, Lord God, that the people that this was intended for will hear it with open hearts, open ears, open minds, and that lives will be transformed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I want to ask you, because I've now carried on for about 20 minutes, if you will just stand and just say hello to somebody next to you, or shake their hand and say, oh, we've done wonderful things by God's grace, or something. Just stand and greet somebody around you. No, thank you for your help.
Sorry, I put the wrong one on.
Doesn't matter. That's fine. All right, let's get back to our seats quickly. So I want to again thank you all for being such a great support and being such a great people. Okay, this morning, just before we go on, those of you who've brought food, obviously we're going to go through into the hall afterwards. Boss Ben and Yvonne are going to join us, so please spend some time greeting them. If you didn't bring food, there's enough food. You're welcome to come and join us. You're welcome to come and join us. The one thing is, we are a generous church. We've stated that. We want you to feel at home. There will be enough. Come and fellowship with us. Don't go home hungry. Right. So, today's message, it's still in line with issues of the heart. You know, we've been speaking about issues of the heart, and then we spent the 25 days studying Song of Songs and learning how amazing the Lord's love for us is. And how amazing His plan is for our marriages. But what really struck me is as Jesus spoke, I am His and He is mine, and His banner over me is love. And that love of Christ, that is so strong. So we've been studying Song of Solomon. And for those of us that participated in the 25-day study, we found ourselves falling into a deeper love relationship with Jesus. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I spoke about falling deeper in love with Jesus. So we're dealing with issues of the heart. Today we're dealing with another issue of the heart. It's learning to accept ourselves. It's easy to love Jesus. If you go and read Song of Songs, you fall in love with Him all over again. It's easy to love Him. But sometimes, simple acceptance of ourselves is a far more difficult concept. Can I see a show of hands here? People that have had problems from time to time loving themselves or accepting themselves. I'll be the first hand that goes up. I mean, most of the people in the church, sometimes we battle with this thing. Accepting ourselves. Loving Jesus, He's phenomenal. He's not unlovable, but sometimes we find ourselves unlovable. We battle with ourselves. Many people struggle with it. They can't accept themselves. They despise themselves. They hate themselves because things they might have said or done, failures in their lives, lack of success. Somebody was saying, On Wednesday night in the life group meeting, that sometimes when they sin, then they find it very difficult to get back into fellowship with God. But Jesus Christ paid for our sins. He's paid for every sin. Even that sin that's keeping you out of fellowship, He's paid for it. All you need to do is confess and repent and go straight back into fellowship. But because we battle with ourselves, because we battle to accept ourselves, we find it hard to say, well, how can Christ accept me? Especially when I've sinned. And we battle with these things. In more extreme cases, people suffer from a sense of low self-worth. They struggle that and feel that they need to prove themselves. Have you met people like that? If you've met me, you've met somebody like that. Because sometimes I feel that way. I've got to prove myself. And that's when you put your foot in your mouth the worst. Trying to prove yourself. They struggle and then they become withdrawn. They say, well, I don't fit in. Everybody else thinks they're fine. But they battle with themselves and they withdraw. And they become recluses sometimes in extreme cases. Others, young people, teenagers, the things go wrong in their lives And they start to punish themselves. They start to cut themselves. I wonder if you and some of our young people here have battled with it. And maybe some of our older folk here. Cut themselves, hurt themselves in one way or another. Extreme, the most extreme way of doing that is committing suicide. I hate myself. Well, I just can't live with things like they are. But if we learn to accept ourselves, if we learn to accept who we are, we'll find that we can have victory. Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible expects us to love ourselves. Did you know that? The Bible doesn't say, it's not a commandment that you need to love yourselves. It's an expectation. God doesn't really speak about it. But He speaks about us loving ourselves as a given. And I'll show you where He does it. In Ephesians, let's first go to the great commandment that Jesus gave. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. He's assuming already that you love yourself. If I'm not loving myself, I've got a problem. Because I'm not in line with what is assumed in the Word of God. Ephesians 5 verse 28 to 29. It says, in the same way, husbands were to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it. If you don't love yourself, you wouldn't eat. Isn't that interesting? But feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. So this love for ourselves, husbands, love your wife as you love yourself, just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for the church. Love yourself as Christ loves. He doesn't say, learn to love yourself. He doesn't say, it's a commandment that you should love yourself. He says, no. Love your wife like you love yourself. So it's a given. It's an expected. Why then do we struggle with this thing of accepting ourselves? Because the enemy tries to bring us down and make us think of ourselves lower than what God thinks of us. Because if He can do that, and we lose all of our self-esteem. We lose all of our confidence. We lose our ability to accept that which Christ has done for us. If I can't accept myself, I can't accept that Christ would love me enough to change my life and to bless my life. And I believe that's a real struggle that people have in their lives. Do these verses about loving yourselves as you love yourself talk about a vain kind of love? And I wrote here, I'm too sexy for my shirt kind of love. All the kids are laughing because I said, you did it wrong, Dad. And you're not sexy. It doesn't talk about that. That's pride. Amen? I know some of our youngsters, yeah, when they look in the mirror. Right? Nemo, nay. I'm just teasing him. Right? It's not that kind of love. That love is the kind of love that's spoken about in 2 Timothy, about the end time, people in the end time. 2 Timothy 3 verse 2. They love only themselves, and they love their money. That's that kind of love. I'm too sexy for my shirt. Does it speak of an acceptance of ourselves and a comfortable relationship with our very person? Yes, that's what it's talking about. If we were to go deeper, does it speak about coming to terms with even accepting our not so good looks? Like mine. You thought I was going to say, like my good looks. No. Yes, it speaks about that. It speaks about even when I look in the mirror and I don't really like the person I'm seeing, coming to terms with ourselves. Yes, that's what it speaks about. And that's what I want to teach you about today. And I was blessed because Song of Solomon gave me exactly what I needed. If you turn in your Bibles to Song of Solomon. For those of you that have done the study, you should be able to go, and it'll open there. For those of you that don't do it, I know you didn't do the study. Song of Solomon 1 verse 5 and the first portion of verse 6. It says this. This is the woman that he's in love with. I am dark but beautiful, a woman of Jerusalem. Dark as the tents of Kedar. Dark as the curtains of Solomon's tents. Don't stare at me because I'm dark. The sun has darkened my skin. Now Kedar, or the tent of Kedar, means to be black-skinned. It was black, like the black goats from which the tents were made. So this woman, she might have been from an African nation, or she might have just been very well suntanned, right? But the sun made her skin dark. But she was quite sensitive about it, because she said, "Don't look at me because I'm dark." She said, "I'm beautiful, but..." Isn't that interesting? "I'm beautiful, but..." Can you imagine, Miss World? "I'm beautiful, but..." But you see, this is what this woman did. As you read Song of Solomon in chapter 1, the beloved, her lover, doesn't look at her skin. He doesn't speak about her skin. He speaks about how beautiful she is. He talks about her beautiful neck and her hair that runs down like the goats walking down the mountain. I mean, we wouldn't say that to our wife. But he sees her beauty. She says, "I'm beautiful, but..." He didn't say, "I think you're beautiful, but your teeth look like goat's teeth. Oh, I'm glad you're awake." I mean, he said, "You are just so beautiful. You've stolen my heart." That's what he said. She said, "I'm beautiful, but..." And that is our problem. That is our problem. "Don't stare at me because I'm dark." And she blames the sun. She says, "I've been in the sun a lot." So she even looks for something to blame for the "but." "I'm dark, but..." "I'm beautiful, but I'm dark because of the sun. I'm beautiful. Jesus loves me, died for me, I'm born again, but my household is such a mess, I battle to walk with the Lord." Does that make sense to you? Can you see where I'm going with the message? But let me give you an example. I'll give you a wonderful example. I was thinking about this. You see, a husband and wife are getting ready for a Christmas party. We're getting into that time of the year when you have a Christmas party. So he goes out. He takes his nice suit out the cupboard, his tux and his fancy top and his bow tie that he wears once a year. He gets dressed. He's ready in 10 minutes. Lekker, I'm ready to go to the party. The wife, on the other hand, she got up this morning early. Early, early, early. She's gone for a pedicure and a manicure. She spent a fortune on that. Her hair's beautifully done. There's not a hair out of place. She went and bought her dress, 2,000 rand at Cheryl's. Where's Cheryl? She had Cheryl make it for her. Okay, so that's 6 weeks before she started planning. I don't know, was that cheap or expensive, Cheryl? Cheap. She spent 6,000 rand on a dress. No, I'm just joking. 2,000 rand on dress, because she spent 6,000 rand on her daughter's matric farewell dress. Okay? She spent that money. She's gone to the shoe shop. She bought herself a 1,000 rand pair of shoes. And then she walked past the handbag shop. Is Jimmy Choo still in fashion? She bought a 3,250 rand Jimmy Choo handbag. And finally, she gets back home around about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. She's a little bit exhausted, but she looks like $1 million, and she's almost spent $1 million. She looks stunning. She's ready to go out. She's ready. And then she goes, and she's looking in the mirror, just pulling things right, and she sees a little bulge in the side of her dress. And she bursts out in tears. She's just screaming and crying. There's mascara everywhere. The tears are flying. She's wiping her face. Her hair's a mess. It's in her hair. The black from the mascara is in her hair. Her husband walks and says, "What happened?" She says, "Everything's so beautiful, but I'm so fat and ugly." Can you identify with that? Doesn't matter how beautiful she looked. The guy, well, he says, "Shah, she's so great. I'm so lucky I'm getting to go home with her tonight." She says, "I'm fat and ugly." The Lord says, "I love you. You are beautiful beyond measure in my sight. I did everything to make you beautiful." And we go and say, "Yes, but Lord, I'm such a bad sinner. I'm not good enough. But my life is such a mess." Do you understand what I'm saying to you this morning? Everything's perfect, but I'm just so bad and so sinful. In Song of Solomon, the young man says to her, "You are beautiful, my darling. Beautiful in every way." We need to realize that Christ sees us that way. Not because we are so fantastic. Not because when I look in the mirror, I'm so stunning. But because He's made me beautiful. He's covered me with His precious blood. Remember last week, a couple of weeks ago, we were speaking about the robes, the white robes. He's washed us white as snow. He's given us the ability to put beautiful jewels and things by the good works that we will do. He's given us opportunity. We are beautiful. He doesn't see us any other way. Our sin might be disgusting, but He paid the price for it. But why is there always a but in our lives? But until the time that that but is dealt with, we will never be able to accept the grace that we have in Christ Jesus. Did you know that? We need to deal with that but. We need to start seeing ourselves the way that Christ sees us. Are you with me? Amen. We need to see ourselves without the but. We will never be able to love others the way that we love ourselves because we're not loving ourselves properly. There will always be that but. Until the time that the but is dealt with, husbands, we will never be able to love our wives properly because we will not be able to love them the way we love ourselves because we don't love ourselves. How can you give her the love when you're struggling to give yourself the love? Can I hear an amen? Amen. I want to remind you that that love is a given. It's an expected. It's not something we're supposed to have to work on. But the enemy tries to rob us. That but makes us feel like outcasts. In our study on Song of Songs, Solomon states that the Shulamite woman despised the thought of having to wear a veil. Are you still there? If you read Song of Songs 1 verse 7. Tell me, O you whom I love. This is the woman speaking. Where you feed your flock. Will you make it rest at noon? Now she's looking for him. Okay? So then she asks this question. For why should I be as one who veils herself by the flocks of your companions? Why should I be as one who veils herself? Do you know why she said that? Do you know why she detested the thought of veiling herself? Why would she need to veil herself? Because prostitutes wore veils in the Old Testament. Prostitutes, harlots, and people that had leprosy. To cover them and protect the other people. Those were the people that wore veil. So to wear a veil was not a thing of honor. It was a thing to be despised. She said, why should I wear a veil when I'm not with you? Now I'm looking for you. Why should I wear a veil? When in your presence, I'm this beautiful person. That without spot. The veiled face speaks about shame and loneliness. And that is what not accepting ourselves will do to us. Our failures and our sins have the ability to make us feel guilty and full of shame and unworthy of the love of Christ. They can easily make us turn away from Him and say, don't look, I'm so dark. I'm so full of sin. I'm black. My life is black. We forget that we're white as snow because Jesus Christ made us that way. But we turn away because we think, I can't accept myself. I believe the Lord wants us to detest such kind of thinking. It's like that woman, the Shulamite with the veil. She detested the veil because of what it spoke about. We should detest such thinking of the guilt and the shame. I'm not saying that we mustn't confess and repent of our sins, but we must detest thinking of ourselves as less than what He thinks of us. We must detest that kind of thinking so that we can get the victory. But that woman had the answer too. She said this, tell me, O you whom I love, will you feed your flock, will you make it rest at noon? You know what she wanted to do? She wanted to be in His presence. She wanted to find Him. She wanted to go to Him because there she would find acceptance. God accepts us. She wanted to be where He was. There she wouldn't need to wear a veil. He loved her. He loved her darkness. He loved her in exactly as she was. God is calling us today to shun that guilt, that veil of guilt. He says you don't need to be alone anymore. You don't need to withdraw anymore because you don't love yourself. He's calling us to seek His flock. Seek His flock. This is His flock. And remain in His presence. You'll find acceptance here. Remember what I shared with our core values. We will accept one another. Come as you are, but don't stay that way. We will love you as you are. And then we're going to disciple you so that you can grow in Christ. Romans 8 verse 1 says this, and we know it so well. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We need to start seeing ourselves the way that Jesus sees us. Song of Solomon 4 verse 7. Turn there. Turn there. Read it with me. This is the way Jesus Christ. Remember, Song of Solomon is a picture of Christ in the church. You are altogether beautiful, my darling. Beautiful in every way. Patty, can you accept that the Lord sees you that way? Amen. Who else? Who's struggling with that? Dragia, can you see yourself that way? You are altogether beautiful in the Lord's sight. Beautiful in every way. How do we get to the point of accepting ourselves? We realize that we are accepted in the Beloved. In Ephesians 1 verse 3 to 6 it says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He's chosen us to be holy without blame before Him in love, having predestined to us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. I want to say, and daughters. According to the good pleasure. It was the pleasure of His will to adopt us. To the praise and glory of His grace. It's by His grace that He adopted us. By which He made us accepted in the Beloved. If I'm accepted in Christ, then I need to learn to accept myself in me. If I'm a child of God, and that is what God is talking to us about. Are you with me, church? There are people here this morning, that's why I prepared this message. That's why the Lord gave me this message. There are people here this morning that are struggling to accept themselves. And it's robbing you. It's robbing you of the life God wants you to have. It's robbing you of the joy God wants you to have. It's robbing you of the impact God wants you to have. Because when you love yourself, when you accept yourself, you become so much more able to do what God has called you to do. We need to realize, if we read the scripture, that God chose us since the foundation of the world. He adopted us as His children. I'm an adopted child. Therefore, we need to realize it was never up to us. It was never, did you get that? It was never up to us. He always did it. He did it through Jesus Christ. Let me read that same scripture I read from Song of Solomon earlier, but I'll read it from the New King James Version. It says, "You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you." Remember that word, no spot, no darkness, no spot in you. God knows us inside and out. He knows that He cleansed us. So when He looks at us, what does He see? Spotless perfection. Turn to the person next to you and say, "I am in Christ, spotless perfection." Just say, "I'm spotless perfection." Do you believe that? Amen. When we give our hearts to Jesus, He covers every spot. God doesn't see our dark skins, the darkness which represents our sin. He doesn't see our guilt and shame. He sees Jesus. That's why when He looks at us, we're beautiful beyond measure. Ephesians 5 verse 25 to 27, the scripture I read earlier on. I'm going to read it again, but watch now. Watch what Jesus says about the church. "For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up His life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word." How do I get rid of those spots? I get washed by the cleansing of God's word. But now listen to this. "He did this to present her to Himself as a glorious church, without a spot or wrinkle and any other blemish." I will not have a black skin or a dark skin in my own opinion. When I realize that Jesus Christ paid the price so that I could be without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. Turn to the person next to you again and say, "I am holy and without fault." Do you believe that? We are cleansed. We are without spot or blemish. It is Christ that has done it for us. As we accept Jesus' work on the cross, we will get that victory God wants us to have. My challenge to you today is this, that you will accept it. That you will realize that you are without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. You know what? It wasn't just talking about the church Christ was coming to get. He made us without spot, wrinkle, and blemish now. Because He paid for our sins on Calvary. It's paid. It's done. Every sin ever committed, we just need to take hold of it. Amen. We need to speak it out. We need some people, we need to say it. But one of the things, a week ago in the prayer meeting, three areas of attack in the church. Three areas of the reason why they attack. One is sin. The second one is unbelief. The third one, negative confession. We speak it out. "Ugh, I'm such an idiot. I'm useless. I'm hopeless. I call myself a peanut. I'm such a peanut." We speak it out of ourselves. We need to say, I'm without spot or blemish. I'm beautiful in the Beloved. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm the Lord's. He is mine, and His banner over me is love. We need to ask God to give us a revelation of how He sees us so that we don't see ourselves the way we see ourselves. How do we come to terms with that ourselves today? How do we not see ourselves as dark? Like the wife in our illustration, fat and ugly. How do we stop the tears? How do we learn to love ourselves one again? We simply believe. We believe the Word of God. We realize that Jesus Christ sees us as beautiful beyond words. We realize that He's dealt with the darkness. He doesn't see the darkness. He's dealt with it. He's removed the spots and blemishes. We run into His presence. She was saying, where are you grazing your sheep? Where is the sheepfold? Let me come in. Jesus wants to restore our self-worth, our sense of self-worth. He wants to remove that sense of self-condemnation. He wants to remove the motivation to cut ourselves, wherever, under our arms, wherever it's hidden, where people don't see. He wants to take that away. He wants to remove that thing that makes us say stupid things because we're trying to impress people because we feel inadequate. He loves us today. And that's what the message was about this morning. I trust that it's been a blessing to you. Let's stand. I'm going to ask the worship team if they can go forward. More love, more power. As the worship team is getting ready, church, if that's you today and you've been battling to come to terms with yourself, whether it's over sin that you're beating yourself up about, whether it's over failures, maybe you feel, I haven't got the ability to earn a living because you're out of work, that would be coming to terms with myself. Just remember, Jesus loves you. No matter what it be that you're struggling to come to terms with yourself about, if there's something that makes you feel inadequate or not good enough, this message has been for you. I want to ask you to come forward. I'm going to pray with you, and we're going to close the service. So if that's you today, we're going to sing this song, More Love, More Power, More of You in My Life. And I want to ask you to come forward. And I know there's people like that here this morning. So come. Don't be ashamed to come. God wants to free you. Hallelujah.